Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. Military families are not like your traditional family. They are strong, brave, resilient, and some of the most incredible people I know. My name is Gracie, a U.S. Army brat, and I am your host. I am honored to be able to give military family members like myself a place for them to share their stories and experiences in the military life. Stay tuned for this week's guest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Grace of Military Child and Life. Today, I'm here with Madison, who is an Army brat. So, Madison, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, what was it like growing up as an Army brat for you?
I would say, it was fun. It was fun. I definitely had fun. Moving around was really fun. There were times that were definitely very hard because I was also homeschooled on top of it just because of how much we were moving around. So, sorry, it's so windy.
You're good. It's windy.
Like reconnecting or just connecting with people in general was really difficult. But other than that, I think it really shaped me into the person I am today, which I'm very grateful for. Because sometimes I look at my peers and I say, ooh.
I know, especially in college, you can really tell. And it's fun to try and pick out those military kids. You know, there weren't many at my college, but, you know, you can really pick them out who grew up, you know, being a military child, active duty, you know, their whole life or had some sort of military connection. You can really tell.
Yeah. Because especially in like situations where you're supposed all my words have just gone away. Like in situations where you're around authority or, you know, you're supposed to be respectful. I feel like a lot of military children just have like a switch that they can flip. And it's like, okay, I need to be serious right now.
Yeah, we grew up with yes, ma'am, yes, sir, please, thank you. The simple manners that I feel any child should grow up with. But because we're around leadership, you know, you never know when you're going to run into a commander or colonel or whoever on base, somebody high in command. And you have to be respectful because you're not only, this is a hard thing that I feel it's, most civilian children don't understand and civilian families don't understand. But as a military child, you represent not only yourself, but you represent your parent who's serving. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to be conscious of that walking around base, going to school. You get in trouble, your parent gets in trouble too. And that's not a good thing.
Nope.
Yeah, it's very much like, you grow up with that sense of watching your back, watching what you say. And, you know, civilian kids, and I don't necessarily mean this in a bad way, but they don't care as much.
When I was in high school, it was like, okay, thank you. But like these people were just, I don't know, like even with teachers, it seemed like they had no respect for these people. And I'm like, clearly, you guys were not raised with the manners, I guess. I don't know. Because it's like, I don't know. I just feel like we just have this kind of like flip where we're like, okay, all right. No more playing around. Like we can still play around, but just not in the way that everybody else is right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, the way that we're seen sometimes is like we're very strict. We're very follow the rules. We're very, you know, all of these things that can be viewed as negative, but in reality, it's like, okay, yes. You know, just like you said, we know when to act proper. We know when to behave, but we also know when to have fun. And, you know, military kids, I've had the funnest time around some of them. So, you know, it's a switch that we can flip on and off.
Yep. Yes. I feel like, I don't know. We just always know when it's time to have fun and when it's time to be serious.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to say, but it literally just like,
poof. It's got it. Yeah. So what are some like struggles that you faced within the military life?
So I definitely struggled with anxiety and depression, which might not just be because of the military, you know, like that's just me.
Right.
But a lot of it, you know, that it created more problems, I'd say, for myself.
It did more harm than good.
Yes. So like when, you know, we were moving from place to place and I wasn't in school, I was at home all day. I had no friends.
Yeah.
I had like my friends, you know, online, like friends that I had met in other states that I could still talk to, but like they were in school. They couldn't talk to me during school hours.
Right.
Or, you know, it's not like we could just hang out whenever we wanted, you know, hey, let's go do this after school. And so I think a lot of that, really just pulled me down a lot. But, you know, sometimes I have to look at it in a more positive light, because when we were moving around like that, the only people I had were my family. Like, right. The only people I had were my brothers and my mom, because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and obviously my dad, but he was at work.
Yeah.
And so, like, my brothers and my mom, I feel like all of us are so close now. Like, my brothers are some of my best friends. My mom is my absolute best friend. Like, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I might have struggled, but coming out on the other end of it as an adult, it's like, okay, well, maybe it was a good thing. You know, it really, really sucked when it was happening. And like, you know, I wish I didn't have to feel those things at such a young age. But now it's just like, you know, I have my family, my best friends. Like when I was in college, when I was in my dorm, you know, people around me were like, could not understand that like being around or being away from my family for so long was just like crazy, because for my entire life, that's like, that was the constant I had. Like that was the only kind of, I guess stability, like right. Something that was always constant in my life was my family.
Yeah. It's hard for people to understand that, especially, you know, I wasn't homeschooled, but I did virtual school from seventh grade until 12th grade. And that wasn't because of the military necessarily. My dad had retired at that point, but it was easier for our family. We had to go back and forth for doctor's appointments and all of this other stuff. We were traveling. So it just made more sense for our family. But a lot of, you know, our family is close. One, because of the situation we went through with my dad being injured and everything, which is how I know Darren. But, you know, so everything that we went through with that situation, you know, it was just the four of us. And so we became really close with that. But then also taking it to virtual school, like you don't go out and meet friends a lot. I did dance as an extracurricular, so I was able to meet people through dance, but a lot of them, one, dance is a sport that you start when you're three and then just continue from there.
Yes. So
you've already got your friend groups formed, but it's one of those things that there was a school of the arts, so everyone would go to school at the school of the arts specialized in dance and then come and dance later on. So everyone knew each other. And, you know, once you have those friend groups, it's hard to, you know, fit into that.
Yeah. I don't know. I would get so surprised. So, where I live now at Fort Campbell, it's like, I always get so surprised when I find out that people have been there their entire lives.
I know.
Like, I'm like, oh, like,
how did this happen?
I'm like, you know these people since elementary school? And especially just because that is a very like military town. Yeah. I'm like, how does that even happen?
I know.
Like, what do you mean you were in fourth grade with this person? You
weren't. Right. I remember, you know, going to, so we were a reserve family, so we didn't move around. And so I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio for 9 years. But then when my dad got injured, and it was like within a month, like my dad got injured. And then a month later, my sister and I moved because my mom had moved earlier. But the two of us moved. And so telling all my friends like, hey, yeah, I'm moving to Texas. I'm probably never coming back. Like, I don't know yet. Like, we're going to go see what happens. But they couldn't necessarily wrap their heads around the idea of somebody moving and never coming back.
Yeah. And especially like, you know, I lived in a small town when we were stationed in Virginia. And it's like those people love them to death, but they have been there their entire lives. Their yeah. grandparents are from there. Their great grandparents are from that town. And so it's right. like them having someone come in and only be there for a few years and then leave. It's just like a crazy concept. but know. Also to me, small towns where you live there your entire life is also a crazy concept.
Yeah, it goes both ways because, you know, I've only moved twice, but still like moving two times, you mm-hmm. talk to, you know, college kids, they're like, oh, the first time I've ever moved was moving out of my childhood home.
Yeah.
To my dorm or into my apartment. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, an unreal concept of,
yeah.
you know, I'm you've like, never oh. lived in a different state before. Some people never traveled to another state.
No.
I know people who have lived in Florida and never left. I mean, I will say it is a pain to drive out of Florida oh, because yeah. of where we are. It takes 6 hours to leave. But, you know, it's easy to hop on a flight. I was on a flight every single month just about last year. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, I think military kids, we also have that traveler's heart in us. We just want to explore.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. See, I, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to, like, stop moving around, like, you know.
Yeah.
But then I have this, like, itch, which is why I'm doing the Disney College program right now. Because it's like, I need to go do something because we were in Tennessee for so long, like the longest we had ever been stationed anywhere. Yeah. And so I was like, ooh, I need to go somewhere.
I'm gone. I need to move. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We've been here for a decade. And so May will be a decade. And it's really that, I mean, Florida's great, but I just get sick of it. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm done. It's hot. It's too hot. Yep. When I'm in the airplane and I can look out the window and just see flat land, I get really annoyed. I'm like, where's texture, mountains, hills?
Yeah, something. I know, right? Like, I'm down here in Florida and I'm like, where is all the mountains? Because, you know, I'm from Tennessee. So it's like, where is everything?
Where to go?
Where did it all go? How did it all disappear?
Yeah. And so that's like the hardest thing is having been exposed to so many different regions of the country mm-hmm. and then coming and staying in one and knowing there's so much left to explore, there's so much left to do, there's other countries. It's like
there's so much I haven't seen, there's so much I haven't done, but also for me, like on the other side of it, I'm like, well, I've moved so much, like
right,
well, I kind of want to don't want to do that anymore but then I'm also like, but then I get this like itch, I'm like, ugh, okay, I need to do something, like there's more out there. And sometimes I like feel for those people in small towns, as much as I love them, like my friends and stuff, it's like there's so much that you haven't seen. And I know your small town, like that's all you've grown up with, that's all you've known, but there's so much more. There's so much more.
I love the small town vibes, and that's like mm-hmm. incredible. But it's like you need to step outside of that small town and expose yourself to more of this country, more because if you think about it, just within the United States, like the East Coast is so different from the West Coast and North, South, everything. And I was talking to someone the other day and they went out West and he was showing me some pictures and I'm like, you can't, mm-hmm. you don't see that. You don't see these beautiful mountains, like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, like, breathtaking, literally looks like it was taken from a fairy tale. Like, you don't see that on the East Coast. So, like, you have to go out and explore it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know what, I'm really grateful for the military in that sense, like, knowing that there is more out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I haven't lived in that many places, but just knowing, like, that there is more out there, like, I'm so grateful to be able to know that. Because if my dad was never in the military, then I probably would have lived in Kentucky my entire life where my parents are from. So,
and that does not, you know, it's kind of, I'm from Ohio originally. So like mm-hmm. Ohio, Kentucky, everyone's like, we don't want to go back there. Like, we don't, you know, I have the itch to go back to Ohio. Not many people mm-hmm. have the itch to go back to that Northeast Midwest area mm-hmm. at all. But, you know, I am so thankful. And I was not very thankful as a child. I was like, why are we moving again? I literally resented my family for 3 years and we were tired. So like, it was that transition from being a military child to not being a military child anymore, and nobody understanding what it was like to be a military child, nobody getting that, nobody understanding the military child caregiver aspect of it. So it was hard to make friends and meet people who actually understood what I was going through, because we didn't live by a military base. MacDill Air Force Base is 2 hours away. And so it was definitely like 3 years before I really was like, okay, yeah, no, like that's a part of my life. That chapter is over. Like, we're civilians now. Always going to be a military child forever, but we're civilians now. And it was definitely the hardest transition ever.
Yeah, there was, you know, I still struggle with it, like the resentment part. Yeah. Just because I look back and I'm like, you know, I wanted to be in school, like I wanted to meet people. But, you know, I understand we were moving and going from school to school might have even been harder, because I would have had to leave those friends that I would have made. And I don't know, just a lot of, I think a lot of the resentment I have is just towards school and everything, because once I did finally go back to school, like everything was so... like my credits, because I went back in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And so my 9th grade credits were all messed up, and like I was falling behind everybody that I was meeting. Yeah. I wasn't. I was perfectly fine. but like, you know, when you're that age, when you're 15, it's like, oh my gosh, everybody is like, it's just not really a competition, but it's like everybody seems like they're where they need to be, and I feel like I'm not.
Right.
And so I think a lot of my resentment with the military just came from school, but now it's just like, now I'm graduated and it doesn't even matter anymore. So.
I know. You look back and it's funny to kind of reevaluate everything, because it's like, I was so upset about something that's not a big deal now. And it's the way it is. And I think most military kids have some sort of aspect in their life where they carry that resentment, but looking back, it's like, whatever.
It wasn't serious. Yeah. It really helped myself, and, you know, having to speak up with like teachers and counselors being like, hey, I don't have all of the credits I need right now. I'm trying to graduate when I'm supposed to graduate.
Right.
And, you know, just letting people in the school know. I've learned to speak up for myself because of all of it. Because I've always been very shy and not very confrontational. But yeah, you know, it teaches you a lot.
Yeah. I think too, as military kids, we're taught to advocate for ourselves a lot, because we're not necessarily growing up in a traditional two-parent household. We have one parent who's kind of always transient, always here, there. And then we have, you know, for me, it was my mom too, who is pretty stable, who is always there. And, you know, she's taking care of other things, you know, younger sibling and everything. So it's like, no, like I have to, it's kind of that thing where military kids, especially the oldest child, always feels like they have to take over, you know, some of those responsibilities. But you're taught really to speak up for yourself. You're taught to fill in where needed, and you're taught to advocate for yourself. Because if you don't advocate for yourself, especially even at a young age in like late elementary school, early middle school, you're not going to get anywhere. And your parents aren't there to hold your hand for the rest of your life and do it for you.
Yep. Okay, I literally had something I was going to say, and it just keeps happening. It's, I don't know, gone. What's going on. Being the oldest and like stepping in, I think a lot of just like military children know how to step in and help when needed, or, you know, try to go above expectations and do more than what's asked. Especially, you know, I'm the oldest. I have three brothers. And the last time my dad was deployed, my youngest brother was one, two, something like that. And so, you know, having to help out with my brothers and fill in not, I wouldn't say necessarily as another parent, because
right.
my mom knew how to keep that like separate. But you know, just helping out whenever she needed, taking my brother, keeping him in my room, keeping him occupied while she's busy doing something else, or, you know, helping just simple household tasks, like during the day.
Yeah.
Helping with dinner, helping with any of that, you know, just teaches you to just jump in.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be really interesting, like for this generation, like you, your age, my age, everything, you know, to see mm-hmm. how we are, you know, 10, 20 years from now, see where we're at, see where
yeah.
our peers and counterparts are. And, you know, cause it blows my mind that there's millions of military kids out there and we're just such small percent of the population. And I feel that, you know, we've just got these life experiences, this drive, motivation that's kind of getting lost. Like we have a better work ethic than, you know, most people do, because it's just technology is taking over, you know, it's the way the world is moving right now. And so it's going to be really interesting to see 10, 20 years from now, what happens, where we are, where our counterparts mm-hmm. are, where our peers are. And
yes, I'm so interested to see. Like,
I know. Because we can already pick out the military kids looking around. So it's like, is this going to continue to happen? Is this going to become more prominent? Or
yeah, because in school, like you could, I feel like I can always tell being like, you know, usually I'm not going to say everyone, because, you know, there are people that just strive and work hard.
Yeah.
But a lot of us a lot of people who were like that had a parent in the military or had some kind of, you know, relationship with the military. And it's like, it's, you always just feel the need to be up there, do better, you know, trying to show your parent that might necessarily not be around all the time that you're doing well and like you're doing good, and, you know, just wanting that parent to be proud.
I think that's a huge part, because they're not always there. You know, when my dad was last deployed, and I know it's changed since then. This was 2011, but we still communicated primarily by letters. You know, email mm-hmm. was coming around, Skype was coming around. We didn't have the opportunity to Skype with him, but my mom would email, and what 9-year-old mm-hmm. 10, 15 years ago knew how to use an email, because I did not. So no. Why would I communicate with my dad via email? But it was primarily letters. And so you mm-hmm. get like 1-2 pages to tell your mom, your dad, everything that's going on in your life. You don't mm-hmm. necessarily want to bog it down with, oh yeah, I'm failing math, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You're like, no, I'm succeeding. I am doing well. I am striving. I am, you know, I feel like I have that hustle culture in me. I'm like, I think that that's where it came from, because it's always trying to do better than you were in that last letter. It's doing better than you were in the last, you know, TDY or whatever.
And the last Skype call or whatever it may be, you know, just trying to show that, you know, things are still changing over here. I'm still growing. Like,
right.
I'm still, you know, I'm just trying to make that parent proud, because they're not necessarily there to see all of it happening.
Right.
And just trying to tell them about everything and let them know that they have children to be proud of.
Yeah, because, you know, that's a huge part on their aspect too, is knowing, you know, I cannot even begin to imagine how hard it is to leave my whole family and mm-hmm. for a year going on the other side of the world or wherever they're being deployed to. And I cannot even begin to imagine how hard that is. And so mm-hmm. having that, and then worrying about how they are, worrying about what's going on, worrying about all of that. And they're trained to forget that, but I, mm-hmm. for me at least, it would still be lingering in the back of my head. Like, what's
going
on back home?
Yeah. I definitely, it's a little different for us now, because, so here's a little story. So my dad, you know, he hit his 20 years last year, and he was mm-hmm. planning on putting in his retirement packet and like being done. But then he was put on the promotion list. Yes. So he's still in. He is in for another 3 years. And so at that point, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just going to stay in Tennessee. He's retiring soon. So we were all put in school. We were all in school. We were all, you know, making our lives in Tennessee. And once he got his promotion, he was moved to Georgia. So now he's living in Georgia while everybody else is still in Tennessee.
Wow.
And so a lot of the times I can't even like think about what that must be like. Like I'm the child and I'm moved away. Like that's different. But like being right. the parent and being moved in a different state, like away from your wife, your kids, away from everyone, like it must be so difficult on his part.
Yeah.
And just trying to keep in contact with us, especially like with me now, I'm, you know, the only adult child. And so it's their first time like having to have an adult child and like staying in contact and talking to your, you know,
right.
keeping up with them. Cause now he's not only keeping up with that household, he's keeping up with me.
Yeah. It's so different. So, and hearing that, you know, because you do have the choice. Anytime a PCS mm-hmm. comes up, you have the choice to stay put and just mm-hmm. send the service member off. Mm-hmm. But that's such a hard decision at the same time yeah. because you're so close yet so far away.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the first time that we've done anything like that. Like every other time we've all gone with him.
Right.
But this time it was different. And so it's like, you know, we're still all actively making sacrifices for it, for the military. And that's a completely other thing. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't recognize how much the family actually sacrifices. Oh,
100%.
It's just like, oh yeah, you know, just the service member. Thank you for your service. It's like, okay, but we're doing stuff too. Like,
yeah.
We're, you know, people who are moving a lot, we're having to move all around and, you know, just have our parent be gone a lot. And, you know, sometimes even sacrificing relationships with people, with even parents.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's just, that's a whole nother topic.
No, I've always felt so weird when I would, you know, show my ID for military mm-hmm. discount or just identification.
Yeah.
And somebody would look at me and say, thank you for your service. Because mm-hmm. I mean, it goes either one of two ways. It's mm-hmm. they don't realize it's a dependent ID card and they're like, oh, well, thank you for your service. Yeah. Especially being an adult now and still.
Yeah.
So either that or they realize the sacrifices that the family makes. But I always felt mm-hmm. so weird when somebody would say thank you for your service to me. And
yeah,
I don't know what to say. I would always be like, oh yeah, it was my dad who served. Like, cause mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah,
I didn't do anything.
I don't know. It just feels like so normal. Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, we do feel different in some cases, in some places. It's like, we feel like we're so different and it's not as easy to relate to everybody around us, especially, you know, when I'm with people that have known these people for years and years and years. They're like, oh yeah, right. We went to like kindergarten together. And I'm like, wow. Like sometimes I wish I had that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It's just
that's
so different.
Sacrifice we make and mm-hmm. very yeah. unknowingly.
Yeah. Cause it's just what we know. And so being yeah. recognized for it is like, it makes you feel really nice. But at the same time, you're like, well, it's just what I knew, you yeah. know,
like, what instead.
What I grew up with. Yeah.
I didn't get to choose this. Like,
no,
you know, the service member, obviously, we're at a point where we don't have the draft. So they get to choose themselves. Mm-hmm. We're a voluntary service. And so they get to choose. Spouses, you know, really get that choice too. I mean, mm-hmm. when you know, but you know, yeah. you marry into that life or you make that decision with your spouse. And so mm-hmm. you
the kids are just, we're just thrown into it.
We're just here for the ride. We're here for it. And I love the sense of pride though I have of mm-hmm. being a military child and the sense of pride mm-hmm. I have for this country and for really what it made, you know, me, my family,
yeah.
everything.
And just understanding like what other military families have been through and what other military service members have been through, you know, just really having a different kind of recognition for those people.
Right.
And just really being able to be like, you know what? You're cool.
Yeah.
you're awesome. You're cool. You did that.
Yes. So the last thing I do want to ask you, though, is what piece of advice would you give to another military child?
I would definitely say something along the lines of just with resentment, like it's going to suck in the moment. You're really going to, you know, sometimes you're going to have moments where you're really upset with your parents, you know, just like a typical teenager does.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're having to move to a different school or even a different state or sometimes a different country, you're going to have resentment and it's going to be awful. But in a few years, you're going to look back and be like, you know what, this is what I needed. This is, you know, this is where I was meant to be. Or you're going to move back home. You're going to move back wherever you're from or, you know, and it's, you're going to get older and it's not going to be as serious as it was.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Like, what feels very big at the time in a few years is going to be very, very small. Or it's just going to shape you into the person you become. Like now I actively try to make friends. I'm a lot more open than I was when I was 13 and struggling to make friends. Because I had nowhere to make friends, but, you know, you just have to put yourself out there in those situations. You just have to try your best and, you know, talk to people.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, you look back and I always tell myself everything happens for a reason. So even on mm-hmm. the days where I'm still like, man, I wish I was in Texas or man, I wish I lived closer mm-hmm. to a base or Ohio or whatever the case may be, like, mm-hmm. everything happens for a reason. Like I wasn't yeah. supposed to be there. And especially with a military base and living on a military base, most of my friends moved away. You know, I had a good handful who ended up staying in Texas, but a good handful moved away. So it's not yeah. like military life is so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, Ryan and Darren, when I lived yeah. next door to them, like I moved away, I moved to a different state and like, for that entire time, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go back. Like, I miss my friends. But then I came back and they had moved.
Right.
So it was like, oh.
This is like, what happens.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I forget that, like, things will change when I'm not there. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's not yeah. even just like a military problem. I feel like that's just a me thing. Like, I forget that, like,
well, I think
things are still happening.
Yeah, because you look back and you're like, oh, no, like things actually changed. And, you mm-hmm. know, we went back and visited Texas 4 years ago now. And it's like, oh, my goodness, this place is so changed. Like nobody's so here different. Still, you know,
yeah.
everything has just changed. So it's definitely something to remember, you know, look back and it makes sense.
Yeah. I was going to say I had more advice, but once again, I forgot.
It's okay. That's strong advice.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Madison, for being on. So much
Thank
fun.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun. It's so nice getting to talk to more people who understand what I've been through or just have some kind of like base level. Like, yes, I understand what it's like exactly. to be a military child.
You're not alone.
Yes. And a lot of the times it definitely feels like, I feel like a lot of children in the military struggle with that. Just feeling like they're the only ones that are, you know, having to move around. And especially like, I know we're trying to end it, but.
Oh no, you're like good.
When I lived in Virginia, it was a very, very small military base. And a lot of it was people that just, you know, they end up staying in by that base. And right. so just not knowing many people there that just were going through that. I loved it there though, but small town. I had no idea where I was going with that. I had a point, don't remember it.
It's okay, it's all good. It's what it happens, yeah. right?
Yes, it's just like I have so many things that like,
I know.
But yes. It's just so nice to talk to people that understand.
Yeah, for sure. No, I totally agree. And it's comforting to know that you're mm-hmm. not alone.
Yes, because it definitely feels like that a lot. Yeah,
it really does.
Thank you for listening to Grease of a Military Child and Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like, follow, and comment. Also, be sure to check out Instagram and Facebook at Grease of a Military Child and Life for more awesome content. For information on the podcast, Military Child Bigs and Littles, GoAMCL blog, or other resources, visit www.goamcl.org. You can also email me at Gracie, that's G-R-A-C-I-E at GOAMCL.org, with any questions or comments. To be a guest on the podcast, you can schedule it at www.goamcl.org/schedule-a-podcast, all one word, or contact me via social media or email. Stay tuned for the next episode where another incredible story is shared.